in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrows, he made them his very own. And bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died all alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me.
Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the pastor. We're delighted you're here with us this morning, that you have braved the weather that is coming upon us. And so it's good to be together in a safe place, gathered in God's grace together, and he's here with us. And we really believe that this is a no judgment zone. It is a place of grace. We want this to be a place of just man, where it's okay not to be okay. It's just okay to, and God loves you just where you're at. And he wants to meet you where you're at. And we'd love to just honor you as a gift from God. And so in your worship folder is a little connection card. If you're joining us online, please put it in the chat. We'd love to be able to just recognize your presence with us. And so if you could fill out the front, it'd be so great to do that as we gather. And as we do, we're in a series of Hosea. Hosea is one of those books maybe you haven't looked at much in your walk. But as I think as we've been going through this book, I think we've been all been sitting there going, wow, there's a lot of nuggets here. There's a lot of things that still speak true, and I think you'll discover that today. It's amazing how God hasn't changed, and in many ways, human condition hasn't changed either. It's a different place, a different time. It might look a little different, but the heart is still the same. And so we pray as God's love was just pouring into those people, as he's pouring into us, that we will not ignore it, but we will let it take shape and take place in ours. So with that, I invite us to rise as we begin our service together in prayer. And so it is, Heavenly Father, we come into this pizza place out of the weather, and we're grateful for a place to gather with you and one another. Because you say we're two or three gathered. It doesn't say where. It says you're here. And that means that like, you haven't like, you were always there, but like you manifest when we come together. We bring it out of each other, what you are doing. And so God, speak to us, shape us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everyone needs compassion. Love is never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Sing Savior. Savior, he can move the mountains, and my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
So take me as you find me.
So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. And now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains, and my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Sing, shine your life.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King and Savior.
the mountain, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. God, we just want to remember this morning what it's all about, God. Just thank you for who you are today, Lord, who you've been in our lives and who you're going to be. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the power of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. And I'm coming back to heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Lord, that's a great song about wanting to call our hearts back to you. You're inviting us to come back, but it really is about, it's not about our actions, our emotions, how loud, how great we sing, or what we do, and our preferences of how we worship. It's about our heart. And so, Lord, bring our hearts to yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, happy belated Valentine's Day. Thank you. I'm just curious, how many of you like this Hallmark Hershey made-up holiday? How many of you like this holiday? Nobody likes the holiday? Wow. I did not expect that. Okay, rip that page out. No, it's good. I didn't like Valentine's Day. I wasn't a big fan of it because I think the reason was because I was terrible at getting the right gift. Most of the time, I feel like Christy was just being like this loving, gracious woman like she was as a teacher when her preschoolers would come up with these scribble drawings, and she'd be like, oh, that's a beautiful piece of art, thank you. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the gracious way you responded to my gifts. And over the years, though, I finally got the gift right that she really loved. And the difference wasn't price. The difference was it was knowing her. See, there's a difference between knowing about her and knowing her. Giving a card, chocolate, flowers, nothing wrong with it, but that could be anybody's gift. She wanted a gift that showed I knew her personally, intimately. Because you can know a lot about a person. You can know their biography, their accomplishments, reputation, and you get that mostly off on social media. You can know a lot about them, but you can admire them from a distance, but yet you can still not know them. Have a relationship. And the painful part is, sometimes we do the same thing with God. We give him gestures, we are giving our, but we're not giving ourselves. And sometimes what religion does, it deceives us into thinking we know God because we know the things about him. Israel had the sacrifices. They had the festivals. They had the stories. They had his name, their identity, the Israelites given to them by God. See, Israel didn't just lose a relationship. I mean, a religion. They lost a relationship. And God says to the prophet Hosea, there is no faithfulness, no chesed, and no knowledge of God. The tragedy isn't that Israel stopped going to church. It's they stop needing him. And that's exactly why these words of Hosea still sting. Because they reveal the relationship where love has gone missing. So if you look in your notes, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committed adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed flows, bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish. And also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. So what do we see? Number one, God calls his people to court. Hosea begins with like a courtroom drama. Hear the words, O Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. This is God's subpoena to Israel. God has issued a subpoena because the covenant love takes betrayal seriously. This is not a bitter, angry, revengeful husband, but a grieving husband. God isn't acting like a distant judge calling strangers in a courtroom. He is the husband confronting his wayward wife. trying to keep her from the consequences of her action. The lawsuit exists because there is a multitude of violations in this covenant, in this relationship. And God lists them, these accusations, and it's heartbreaking. No faithfulness. No steadfast love. No hesed. No knowledge of God. God's accusations are not ritual failures. It's about relational betrayal. God doesn't first say, "You didn't bring me flowers. You failed in keeping your rituals. Or you're doing it wrong and it's offensive." He didn't say, "Look, you didn't do it right. Are you supposed to bow 3 times, rub your head and your tummy at the same time?" No. He says, "Our relationship has collapsed to nothing. We are two ships passing who don't even recognize each other." It's heartbreak. Because what does he really want? Hosea 6:6 tells us. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." God desires relationship. And so a covenant lawsuit because of relationship. It's broken. God had bound himself to his people in love. He rescued them. He provided for them. He pledged his faithfulness. And he's remained faithful despite their sins. And now the people have broken it. And they don't even recognize it. They think everything's fine. It's good. And B, they know about God, but they don't know God. They don't know him. They thought they knew him because they still had religion. They know the words. They went through the right motions. But knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. God did not save us that we could just be academics, be scholars of him, or scholars of religion, or be a friend who just comes around once in a while. I mean, this is the struggle, even in the church today. I mean, we see church attendance nationally is going down. Even amongst the most church generation has been faithful for one of the most times over the period of time, is kind of lowering the bar of going to church down to like 2 times a month. And that is high end. Why? Because we struggle, because we know all the right words. And we can know the right words, and we can know the right information. We can quote all the information in the Bible, and yet miss his heart. And to be really open, it gets hard. Because it's easy over time, especially when you're in the ministry, you're doing it all the time, and you study it, and you made your life about it, it's easy for our heart to get calluses on it. And we just do. And we don't feel it anymore. We work, and we do at the knowledge that we've had, and we've accumulated, and it no longer is in our relationship. Matthew 7, Jesus warns about this. He says that many will claim to have prophecy, cast out demons, perform miracles in his name. And he will respond to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you wicked workers of lawlessness." I mean, there's people who are doing miracles that look like only God can do and do it in his name, and yet they don't know him, and God cast them out. Because it's not about the work. It's about the heart. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said this, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." See, this is what happens when we fall and we drift and we come into a religion and not a relationship. And the symptoms, number two, symptoms of that empty religion. Hosea lists the fruits of the brokenness of the covenant and of this empty religion. There's swearing, there's lying, there's murder, there's stealing, there's committed adultery. Hey, it's just a breakdown of the commandments, right? Israel's heart has drifted to the culture and has gone away from God. And this is not just an Israel problem. It's my problem too. Right? The culture is like an undertow. It is constantly pulling at us. And there's pressure of the world, and its laws are always upon us, trying to shape us, mold us, and pull us and separate us from God. I mean, I heard with the conference this week, one guy said, if you think the Ten Commandments are hard, try to live up to the law of social media. The laws that are put upon us of how we should live and how we have to be, and these are shifting laws all the time. That undertow pressure is there. It is real. And so here's the problem. When God is no longer first, everything collapses. When God is not truly known, the rest fall like dominoes. And this is where they were, and this is where our world is, and this is where we are sometimes. When God is not first, our world collapses. See, sin became habitual. It wasn't occasional stumbling. Scripture says they break all bounds. Sin becomes the normal rhythm of life rather than the exception. And when that becomes the normal rhythm, the conscience is dull. No longer are the hearts pricked and feel guilt and shame and feel like I did something wrong. It just becomes normal, ordinary way of doing life. For once, what felt broken is now normal. And it happens even in the church. I mean, think about our culture. I mean, if you want to see how far we drifted away, just go watch an old-time family TV show. Maybe like The Waltons, if some of you can remember. And then look at today's family. So you see, when God becomes an idea, we become the center. When God is reduced to a symbol, a concept, a religious accessory, something always takes its place, and what usually takes its place is us. Empty religion feels spiritual, but is awfully self-centered. It's about what I want, what is comfortable to me, what works for me. It's me over any truth. And I become the beholder of truth. I define what is right and wrong. I make myself God. And when we are in the self, true love disappears. Because hedsek always looks outward. It always looks to love its neighbor, not itself. And the frightening thing about empty religion, it's how easy we fall into practicing it without noticing it. It just keeps happening slowly over time. And a habit forms. And we're blind to it. And then we become it. And you know how you know you get there? Because the next generation says, why do we do this? And you can't answer. 2 Timothy warned about this. I mean, Paul warned Timothy about this. He said, you had the form of godliness, but deny its power. You know all the rituals, you know all the right things, but you don't understand the power of God that transforms hearts and lives. You're just working on the outer forms, thinking you're doing something for God, and it's not. See, three, the world suffers when a covenant is ignored. Hosea says the land mourns. It's rather a striking image, isn't it? What is he saying? A, the sin is never private. Sin is never private. We often treat sin as some personal preference, a right of my freedom, something that affects only me. Like, it's on my land, it's in my house, you don't tell me what to do in my kingdom. This is my world, my choice. And it doesn't affect anybody else. So if I find joy in it, it's not wrong. It's none of your business. But Scripture says otherwise. Our brokenness spills outward into families, into communities, into creation itself. I mean, here's the truth. The world is a better place when the church is healthier. You can say amen to that if you agree. But when the church is healthy, all boats rise. The blessings of God overflows. We see this in Scripture all the time. The blessings of God upon his people, and that's what he meant to do when he called Israel, for you to be a light on the hill, for the blessings of God, the anointing of God to be upon you and overflow to the world, that they would all know the goodness of God. So when the church is healthy, all boats rise, all receive the greater blessing. But the opposite is true. When the church is unhealthy and they sink, all boats sink. And it spills over, and sin contaminates the world even worse, and spills into the world that God loves. TB, the land mourns. Think about it. Adam fell. Creation was cursed. Humanity was no longer in harmony with God and creation. It was survival of the fittest. And if that wasn't bad enough, just go a little bit further in Genesis, and what do we see? We see that corruption, that curse, that brokenness just kept spilling over from one generation, next generation, and then we get all the way to like Genesis 6, and here we are. The whole world is cursed and corrupt, and God is mourning that he created man, because man does whatever they feel like is right in their own eyes. And the curse comes, and the renewal comes of a flood. All creation again mourns and feels the weight of sin. Hosea echoes this reality. One broken marriage echoes into children and grandchildren. Everyone suffers. Creation is groaning under the weight of human rebellion again. Paul says in Romans 8:22, creation groans in labor pains. It's groaning. Even creation is groaning. It's dying. It's hurting. And it's longing for Christ to come, where there'll be a new world, a new earth in heaven. See, it's a reversal of blessing. A reversal of blessing. God intended us to flourish. Adam and Eve are placed in the garden. Intentionally put in a place, a blessing, so they could flourish. A perfect paradise where there's no rain. 70 degrees every day with beautiful sunshine. You don't get sunburn. And he told them what? Be fruitful, multiply, flourish. Israelites were rescued and given a promised land that was filled with milk and honey. This is imagery that this is land that is flourishing. Remember, they had fruit and stuff that was so big. They're like, we've never seen such great things there. This land is God's for us. And Jesus, when he came, he said, I've come to give life abundantly for us to flourish. That's God's heart. But when a covenant life is abandoned, blessings reverse into decay. And so God issues a subpoena. And he did that not because he hates them, because his covenant love takes betrayal serious. And he cares about them. He wants to give them the very best. And to save them from running after the brokenness and death. See, this is the law at full strength. It shows us that empty religion does not merely fail to save, it actively damages the world that even God loves. and this was a human relationship, this would be where the story ends. But this is God. And so number four, God's covenant love is not empty. It's not empty. And here the gospel begins to shine. God does not walk away from his case. He doesn't abandon a courtroom. Instead, what does he do? He says, I desire this, hesed, I desire this knowledge. And so God takes action. And so B, God fulfills what we cannot. God is not saying, make your rituals better. He desires that hearts be transformed. And here's the astonishing thing that God does. The one who brings the lawsuit is the one who resolves it. The judge steps down, removes his robe. The judge takes the place of the accused, and the verdict over you changes forever. And this is what happened on the cross for you. Be Christ is the true knowledge of God. In Jesus, you're no longer distant or abstract. You want to know what God is like. Look at Christ. Christ who came to eat with sinners, forgiving them their guilt, touching the unclean, and carrying our burdens and our sins to the cross. At Calvary, God's hesed becomes visible. Jesus fulfills the covenant we broke. He bears the judgment we deserve. He restores relationship that we replace with empty religion. The courtroom that we enter and we came into with fear and judgment now becomes the place of grace. See, God is better at forgiving than you are at sinning. God is better at forgiving than you are at sinning. Number five, from empty religion to covenant life. Isaiah 1:11 and 17 says this, God is tired of sacrifices without hearts. Have you ever driven down the road? And then you get to your place and you don't remember driving? Have you done that? Yeah, we've all done that. I mean, you were present, but you were not aware. And that's how faith feels. You were present, but you were unaware. And Jesus says this in John 17:3. This is eternal life, John 17:3, that they know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is what he's praying. This is eternal life, that they know you, God. Eternal life is not someday, some destination. It's knowing God now. That's eternal life. What we know, what we experience in our hearts, so just a little dimly, will be fully illuminated in heaven. That's why it's so overwhelming, because we get to really know all of God in heaven. The veil that's keeping it will be fully removed. But for now, God has come to make himself known in the Son of Jesus Christ. Then he is present with us and always. It's in our baptism. He claims us. God claims you as his own. You are mine. It's in his word. He speaks to you to lead and guide you and say, look, I'm here with you. You're not alone. I don't abandon you. And is at the table. He feeds us. He feeds your very soul with all his goodness and grace and mercy and presence. It's not empty symbols, but means of grace through Christ that gives him very self to us to dwell with us. Covenant life isn't bargaining with God. It's living inside the grace that's already been given. We don't come to church. We don't come to the table and say, look, I sinned, so therefore I lost grace. Now I need to get another grace to fill the cup back up. The cup is already filled with grace. Covenant life means I am in grace. I am in his forgiveness already. He can't love me anymore. He can't love me any less. And he is faithful, and his love never ends. His grace never ends. And so I come to be renewed in it, which is already there, to be reminded, to be built back up. Why? So it flows through me into my life. Not by my work, my will, but by the grace of God who dwells in me. Let's look at our memory verse, Lamentations 3:22. Let's read it together. The steadfast love, Lord, never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. See, Israel failed. We fail. But God's hesed does not fail. Empty religion says, check the boxes and live by what feels good. Covenant love says, I am his beloved child, and I will live as his beloved child. So today's invitation is simple. Let's come back to truly knowing God. Let's come back to knowing him again. Let's come back and be that vibrant follower because we know him. To the God who awakens our heart to him. A God who reveals himself and gives us his good and gifts of mercy and grace. A God who makes himself known in his word to us. And to life events showing us of his love to us and his word that the word that became flesh and gives us his spirit that we may know and walk in him. For what does the Lord desire? For the Lord desires worship that is in what? Spirit and in truth. It's in love. Not ritual, but as one who knows the Father. See, the God who calls his people to court is the same God who walks beside them, forgiven, and calls them his own. So you don't have to pretend to know God today, because in Christ, God has chosen you to know him. Let's pray. God, we're only here because of grace, because it's your grace, your hesed, that you choose to act. That you make yourself known to us. You choose us. You don't wait for us to find us. You get off the seat. You take our place. And so, Father, we sang in this beginning, bring our heart back to a heart of worship. Bring our heart back to you. Wherever we wander, wherever we drift, wherever the other toad goes, God, may our hearts be pulled back to you by your grace. And so, God, we just confess anything that's on our conscience and heart, any sin that, God, so you would just grace right now. You would just remove that from that barrier where our hearts are hard or callous, God. Would you make them soft again for you? That when we hear your words, we start to step away from you, our hearts would be pricked, our conscience would be pricked, and we would just immediately turn back to you. We wouldn't just keep being taken away. Make us aware of your amazing presence. So, Lord, it's by your authority of your word that I announce to everyone here who's confessed to you that you are forgiven. And the God who forgives is with you and walks with you out of that courtroom into every part of your life with grace and mercy. And so God, we are moved by your care into greater trust, to a deeper relationship, that we know that we truly can turn it all over to you, our whole life. And so, God, there are things in our hearts, our minds that we're trying to fix and try to understand. There's brokenness we're carrying that we're trying to make amends that we just can't. And so we surrender them to you. We give it all to you. And we pray the prayer you taught us to do that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so people that have been loved and moved by God, it's just what we do is we get an opportunity to love God, not out of a guilt or shame or have to, but want to show our love to Him. And so in your worship folder is an envelope that we can bring our offerings to Him, to just honor Him, love Him, and thank Him, and to share His love with others, because that's what Hesed does. It moves in us to others. Also in your worship folder is the connection card, and if you want to share what God is doing or places you want to grow, if you haven't been baptized, let us know. If you want to, I like to walk more in that. Like, I really need to, like, kind of get back to be a vibrant follower of Jesus. I want my heart to be able to discern God's presence and His will, and I don't walk unaware of Him each day. That's when you check that box of disciple training. That's what that called discipleship huddle's about. It's really helping us to be that vibrant follower of Jesus, to be aware of His presence in our everyday life. Also, opportunities to come up. I can't believe it, but you know what? Next week, this Wednesday is? Ash Wednesday. It came quick. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's a great time for our church, and I encourage you so all our venues can come together Wednesday night. We had the soup supper, and you see there in the connection card, we do need more people to please offer a gift of soup or salad. Would be greatly appreciated, and help serve for that night would be also, because we have the soups up there and then a service. And then you're interested in anything else, we'd love to help you out. Just let us know your prayer request. So as we continue our worship, the elders will come around and to receive your offering and your connection card as we worship and prepare our hearts to receive and to be renewed in that covenant through the Lord's Supper.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. Oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He never let me down. He's faithful to generation. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't.
Us.
I didn't know how far you wanted me to go.
It's okay.
We'll get there.
But that's a beautiful thing to be stuck in our heads as we come into this moment. God doesn't fail us. He acts for us. And He continues to be active, living God for us. He keeps coming to us to draw us in with Him. And so tonight, the Lord is going to be betrayed. He took bread, and after He gave thanks, He broke and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this."